Hello, hello. Welcome to Under the Olive Tree. This episode today is a little different, I guess, in the sense that it's not for everybody, I guess. What that means is, like, this episode is specifically for my Muslim brothers and sisters. It's more of a reflective episode. So if you don't want to listen to it, obviously, you don't have to. Nobody's forcing you to do anything you don't want. But this is not here to convince anybody. This is not anything like that at all. It's something, if you don't already believe or if you don't already know, then you probably won't really enjoy. That being said, anyway, we're gonna get into it. I want to talk about how... Mainly, I want to talk about the prophet Noah, peace be upon him, the known as the second father of mankind, the man of the boat of the great flood, an amazing man who did amazing work. And the reason why I'm bringing him up is because in the last couple of years in my own life, and I believe probably in a lot of other people's life, the way his whole journey played out is very relatable, and I'll tell you why. So a few years ago, I bought a house for myself, well, for my family, and my wife is a carpenter's daughter. So my father, on the other hand, is someone who likes to throw money at all of his problems, and he's never, you know, fix things up, and he's not a handyman or anything like that. My dad would rather call a handyman. So I don't even know how to use like a drill, let alone fix up a house that I now own. And every single time, if anybody owns a house, they know that every time you turn around, something is breaking, something is busting down, and shit, are you supposed to call somebody and spend $200-$300 for minor things, and then potentially it could get much, much more expensive than that beyond that? In any case, either way, however you slice it, my wife being the daughter of a carpenter, it almost feels like, you know, every time I'm even suggesting to call somebody and have them do the hard work, I'm getting like side eyes. And it's like, oh, you're not gonna try to fix it yourself. And at first, you know, for a while, I was like, no, you know, I don't know what the heck I'm doing, and I'd rather not mess it up. But this is where, you know, Noah comes into play, because I'm faced with this issue in my house where there's a door jamb, and it's covered in rotting wood, and the whole door jamb needs to be replaced. Not just like the trim, like, I mean, the whole goddamn thing needs to be gutted out and fucking changed. What a nightmare. And so I'm like, shit, dude, if I call somebody, they're gonna charge me like $1,000 to get this fixed. I mean, they're trying to charge $400 just to paint, let alone like I'm gonna have them cut all of this out, now reshape the wood and blah blah blah, put all of this together. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I have Allah with me. And Noah had Allah with him. And Allah is the one who told Noah, hey, you gotta build a boat. And Noah didn't have a saw, an electrical saw, a drill, a screwdriver, YouTube videos. I mean, he's not walking around with a laptop in his pocket, right? But he had a job and he got it done one way or another. However, he needed help, I'm sure, but God sent him the help. He's the one who put him in this predicament. He's the one who helped him with the tools necessary to get out. I mean, he built this boat. So I can't. With all of the tools handy to me, I can't just build a damn door jamb. You know, what does Noah know about building a boat? Probably a lot, maybe, I'm sure. But what do I know about building a door jamb? All I know is that I have God with me. And he's the one who guided Noah to build a boat, so he's the one who will guide me to build this door jam. Right? It's the same God. It's the same God, consistent. And he made Noah human. I'm human. I mean, what is that if not an example set out for me? To be like, hey, you know, I helped Noah, I'll help you. I'm nowhere even obviously close to being like as cool as somebody like Noah, peace be upon him. But my Lord loves me, and my Lord is consistent, and my Lord is merciful, and my Lord guides, so he'll guide me. He's the one who, I mean, the damn door jam is broken. That's on him. I didn't break it. I didn't make the wood moldy. But I'm the one who has to fix it. So the breaking of it, the damaging of it, I didn't have control over. But the fixing of it, I have control over. And I have the tools. The success of it is in the hands of God. Right? Whether or not I do it right. Whether or not I even get it done. But the prayer itself is coupled with action. I'm getting off my ass and I fixed that damn door jam. And then I thought, you know, maybe we get to the next level beyond this. And I had told my wife as a joke, because when we were in the process of moving, the movers, they took my dining table out of my apartment. And as they're moving in into the new apartment that I was living in between, they're like, yeah, this is not gonna go through the door, we're gonna have to break it or something. And I'm like, dude, are you serious? You know, how did they get it through the last door, and how did you get it out of the other door? Like, all these damn doors are the same size. They're the same size. Anyway, at that time I had so much bullshit going on anyway, so I was like, fucking just throw it out, man. Like, just throw it out. I made an executive decision. We all know how that goes. And I had that damn table thrown out. When my wife found out, she was very sad. And so I told her, as a joke, I was like, dude, who cares, man? Like, we're on to bigger and better things right now. It's just a table. If it's that big of a deal, I'll build you your table. Like, because she's so worried about the sentiment of it. It was our first table. So I'm like, you know, I'll give you something more sentimental than that. I'll build you your table. So after I fix this door jam, I'm like, you know what? Maybe we make that crazy dream a reality. Maybe someone like me, and mind you, like, I'm a nobody. Like, literally, I have no business building shit and fixing things. But it's not about that. It's about my trust that I'm placing in something greater than myself, where if I'm already struggling, well, there's something taking care of me and helping me out of the struggle. I just have to do it, right? I don't know how to describe that, I guess. It's like, how am I going to build this table from scratch? Well, there's always a step one. Let's at least do step one. You have these crazy huge, I mean, Noah had this mountain of a problem in front of him. He has to build this crazy boat that's supposed to, I mean, I don't even understand how, like, what, I don't even get it. Animals, humanity, save humanity, everyone, everything. What the heck does a boat even like that entail? How do you even build a boat like that? It sounds like some mystical, magical fantasy. But he got it done, for real. How do you do that? Well, he had God, and he had the same trust in God. Better than me. That's why what he did was greater than what I'm doing. It's greater than what I'm putting together. That's grit. When you have this huge problem in front of you, start with step one. Let's start with step one. And once you do step one, you'll see that step two becomes easy. Easier, hopefully. And then, boom, you're in it. You're getting it done. And then before you know it, it is done. And you've accomplished something great. And you have Allah and yourself to thank for that. Because it was a together thing. You make dua and then you also do it. And the barakat in making it get done, that comes from something beyond you. Another great example of the same exact situation, not the exact the same exact situation, but thematically the same, is the prophet David, peace be upon him. So many of us know the story of David and Goliath. Goliath was, I mean, they say he was a giant. But even if you consider him to be have been much larger than David, I mean, it didn't stop David from taking on such a hardcore challenge. He's like, I got this. Does he got this? I mean, he doesn't really know yet. I mean, the only thing he knows for sure is that he has something that this Goliath beast doesn't. It's God. That's grit. That's determination. And I mean, it's hard to have that kind of faith. It's hard to put your instincts and your fears to the side in the face of great, great hardship. It's hard to think that even in times of struggle, that God has your back. Because that's the thing about God, right? He's much more consistent than us. He called himself a Rahim. Rahim is like forever. I mean, Rahim means merciful. Especially foreverly merciful. It's not just like today he's merciful, tomorrow maybe something else. No. It's like always mercy. Do you understand? Even in times of hardship, even when people are dying, I know it's hard to wrap around your head, but God is still merciful in those times. God is always merciful. God is good all the time. And he's always taking care of you. Salvation comes from God, even if it comes in the form of death. And you have to come, you have to believe that as a Muslim, right? That's what we do. That's how the prophet Jonah was when he's on. So if you don't know the story of Jonah that much, Jonah is a prophet who was sent to a nation, like any prophet who was sent to a nation, and his nation rejected his message. What was his message? There's only one God. Don't worship false idols. Don't worship things you've made yourselves. Don't worship these trees or these rocks or these suns or moons or whatever. There's only one God. And these people reject him, right? They deny his message. So he delivers and delivers and delivers, and they don't listen. And so he's like, bro, I'm outie. Y'all can do whatever. I'm out of here because you guys aren't listening. Hopefully, I'll run into people that will listen. I'm gone from here. I would do the same thing. Don't even for a second consider yourself better than Jonah, peace be upon him. I mean, no way. I would have done the exact same thing. If anything, he stayed too long. I know how people are. You cannot change people. You will not change people. So he's like, why waste my breath? I'm out. I'm gone. So he dips and he goes to another nation. But that's the problem, right? And this is the beauty of these prophets being human, is they're not committing sins, but that doesn't mean they don't make mistakes. Right? He was sent to one particular nation. That was the whole mistake, is that he should have stayed with them. even if they don't listen, even if they don't change. It is not his job, it is not your job, it is not my job to change people. We won't. You won't. I don't care. Try as hard as you want. Change comes from within. A person will never change until they want to. But that change itself, it's God's, like, that's his department. Ya muqallib al-qulub. He's the one who changes hearts. He's the one who is in control of that. What's our part? What's my part? What was Jonah's part? Just deliver the message and keep delivering it. There's only one God. And so he did that. But because they didn't listen, he left. And he's like, I'm gonna go to another place and deliver to them the message. On the way there, there's a huge storm on the boat, in the middle of the ocean. And unfortunately, it becomes so severe that they're starting to throw things overboard just to lighten the load. And it gets even more severe up until they're now having to decide people are gonna have to be thrown overboard just to lighten the load. Otherwise, I mean, it's everybody. How do you even decide something like that fairly? Well, these people, they drew lots. And Jonah is among this crew of people that are on this boat. Peace be upon him. And when they draw the lots, you know, his name comes out first. Now, I mean, you gotta just pause for a second and think. Put yourself in his shoes. Whether you believe or not believe, but like I said, this is for my own Muslim brothers and sisters, right? You think you're in Jonah's position, peace be upon him, and your name comes out of that lot. You're connected divinely. You know already in that moment that this is a message. This is you being told that it's your job now to jump in the water. That's a hard pill to swallow. That's tough. I mean, because essentially you're the prophet of God, right? So as far as you're concerned and as far as you know, you and God are tight, right? Like, you're supposed to be, I mean, his tool on earth, his, like, you're supposed to be delivering the message. You're doing his work. And here he is telling you to jump into the water during a storm. Initially, immediately, when your brain hears these things, when your ears hear these things, it's just like, you're like, what? Come on. You know, like, what would I say? I'll tell you what I would say, right? I'd be like, maybe you want to draw those lots again because I'm kind of the prophet of God or something. I don't know. But the funny thing is that Jonah does not do that. He immediately starts getting himself ready to jump into the water. And that's the beauty of prophethood. That's what makes him him. That's why I'm not him. Right? Because I'd be scared. And I'd be like, yeah, I don't know about all that. But not Jonah. He knows what's up. Then now all of a sudden, I guess not really the issue, but the issue is that the people on the boat, they like him. So they're like, no, not you. And so they draw the lot again. And again, Jonah's name comes out. And obviously at this point, the only people that they're convincing are themselves. Jonah is already on the same wavelength. And he knows what his job is, and he knows what he has to do and what he's about to do.
he knows that his job is to jump in the water. And so he gets ready and he jumps hardcore.
Right?
Now, again, Jonah is a human being, right? Pause for a second. Think. As a human being, he doesn't have knowledge of the future. He doesn't know what's about to happen. Right? We know that he's about to be swallowed by a whale. But in that moment, as he's... Just picture yourself here. He's standing at the edge of the ledge. And he's about to dive into the water. And as far as he knows, he's the prophet of God. And he's supposed to be tight with God. And God is asking him to jump into the water. So, there he goes. Because in Jonah's mind, I imagine, he has so much trust and so much belief that salvation and mercy and purification will come from God, even if it comes in the form of death. I mean, he's essentially jumping to his death. If that was me, I'm jumping. I'm like, I'm gonna die. You know, I'm jumping into this water to die. So he jumps, and he's in the water, and boom, a whale comes, swallows him up. He's unconscious, and the whale dives deep into the water, and I mean, it's scary. That's scary, right? He's now covered up in layers of darkness. He's in the depth of the ocean. He's inside the belly of a whale, right? It's deep. And it's dark. Human beings are naturally afraid of the dark. And you never really know exactly how you'll behave or how you'll act until you're in a state of emergency sometimes. And being swallowed by a whale at the bottom of the ocean feels like your body's gonna be triggered into a sort of fight or flight response. If you're even alive long enough to sense something like that. I mean, I'd tweak, I'd freak out. I'd be like, I should have just died in the water. Jonah wakes up in the belly of this whale, and it's incredibly, I mean, just that level of darkness, I couldn't even imagine. You probably wouldn't be able to tell up from down. And he thought he died. But all of a sudden, he kind of feels like the movement of, you know, this whale being inside of his belly. And he realizes immediately that he's in the belly of a whale. And he's... Now, if you pause here for a second and think again about his humanity, and this is the difference, now you see the difference between humanity and the devil, right? And this nastiness, like this jinn, this nasty jinn. Because initially... Flash way back, you have the devil who is being asked to, well, you have Iblis who's being asked to bow down to Adam, right? God creates Adam, the human, and he asks all of the creation at the time to bow down to Adam as a show of respect, and because it's a commandment of his. God can choose to command his creation with whatever he wants. Everyone and everything bowed except for one, right? Iblis, who we know is the devil. And God is like, why don't you bow? Well, you know, why did you disobey me? And he didn't come at this with, you know, oh God, I thought me and you were tight, but here you are, you created this thing and you're saying that it's better than me and you want me to bow to it. He said, I'm better than that. Right? Arrogance. He had arrogance inside of him. And he's like, I'm better than that. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to bow to that and subjugate myself to that thing that's less than me, that's beneath me. I'm made of fire and that thing is made of mud and earth. So the devil was commanded. He was put into a situation where, I mean, all he had to do was have a little bit of faith and a little bit of trust in the one who made him. And bow. But he chose not to bow. Flash way forward. You have Jonah. He wakes up inside the belly of a whale. Peace be upon him. And he realizes that he's in the belly of a whale.
Immediately he prostrates. And if you don't know what prostration is, I mean, that's bowing. Immediately he falls into prostration and he says, "Look, Lord, I have found for you a place of worship. I have made for you a place of worship. One that no one else has ever made before, the likes of which no one else has ever done before. I've worshipped you in a way no one else has. I've made for you a place of worship in the belly of this whale." How amazing. Reaction. Initial gut reaction. Right? That's how you know the state of his heart in that moment. Because it's impossible for anyone to react in any way other than what's really going on inside of your heart. Right? You stub your toe and what do you scream out? That's what's going on inside of you. That's what you think about immediately. Right? Your life flashes before your eyes. What's the first thing you think? That's the difference between humanity and the devil. The devil was put into a pickle, so to say, a predicament. And he chose to disobey. He chose to lose his, you know, faith or trust in God's wisdom for him, in God's commandment, in God's reward. But not Jonah. Peace be upon him. He didn't falter in the face of hardship. Right? And you're human. I'm human. We might not ever be that cool, but we can try. Right? And there's virtue in trying. You can relate. I mean, well, let's not give up immediately. If you're the kind of person that has some sort of grudge against God, I mean, you recognize that there are people that were even closer to God that didn't hold grudges against him. I mean, the devil was put into a predicament. He chose to disobey. Who's the one who put him into that predicament in the first place? It was God. Jonah, on the other hand, he's in the belly of a whale. Who put him there? God. Who is he bowing to? God. That same God. Who's the one who told him to jump into the water? God. Who's the one who gave him a nation that full of hardheads? God. So God is the one who put you in the situation. He's the one who's going to get you out. And who knows? Perhaps hardship is a form of purification. Everybody, even the most perfect person ever, will make mistakes. We could all use a little bit of purification from time to time. You just hope that God forgives you. And that's the thing, right? One time I guess on a side note, I had someone once ask me about, you know, at the time of Noah when there was this huge flood and it's like God essentially destroyed the world. So their argument was like, oh, God is not merciful because look, he keeps destroying the world. He's punishing mankind. And that's just the wrong perspective to have on the situation. What's actually happening is that God is purifying the earth and he's removing from it transgressors and leaving behind goodness. The funny thing is that God refers to himself as Rabb. Rabb is an Arabic word. In English, you translate it as Lord or God. But in its origin, it means cultivate. It means to cultivate. Like how a farmer would cultivate his plants or his crops. And as anybody with any experience there would know, sometimes there's bad crops that would destroy the rest of the field. Essentially, you have to, you have to shave off the bad crops. And by doing so, he's taking care of everyone and everything. You have to maintain your land. So essentially, I'll leave you with this for now, that hardship comes in everyone's life. And when you're faced with hardship, don't forget that there are people that were even closer to God than you or I, who faced much harder trials and tribulations than you or I. And the one who put them in these situations is God, and the one who helped them in these situations is God. And the same is true about you and me. Whenever we're faced with hardship, he's the one who's gonna pull us out. So if you're the kind of person that has some sort of grudge against God, don't. I mean, he's there for you. He's always on your side. Even if it might not necessarily seem like that's the case. And I'll give you an example just to help put it into perspective. I have a daughter. I have 5 kids. I have my oldest daughter when she was born, and she was a small baby, and I'm changing her diaper, and man, she's just crying, 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 crying. And I'm like, thank God there's nobody else here. Like, I swear, if someone was to see her, they'd think that I was torturing her. They'd think I was killing her. But all I'm doing is changing her diaper. The fact of the matter is that she's uncomfortable, and she's letting me know. To her, the world is ending. From her perspective, from wherever she is with her baby brain, to her, the whole planet is crashing down on her. Things can't get any more worse for her. But wherever I'm looking at the situation from, I'm like, dude, I'm just changing your diaper. So, in relation to God, I mean, if she's thinking that, oh my God, my father is punishing me, I mean, God is far beyond, far, far, far beyond. Like, my daughter is closer to me in knowledge than any of us would ever be to God, right? That baby and I are more similar. So if you feel like, oh my God, the whole world is crashing down on me, the planet is collapsing in on me, well, maybe you're just getting your diaper changed. Maybe I'm just getting my diaper changed. And from where we're sitting, it's like the end of the world. And but it's not really. And eventually, this too shall pass, right? So keep that in mind, I guess, and hopefully that makes you think. Tune in again next time. Signing off for now. Bye.